Is one of those parts of the larger Christmas story that we're pretty familiar with. It's a part of the larger Christmas story that we sing about a lot. Just to prove my point, somebody shout out a song that is sung during the Christmas season that's dealing with the shepherd and the angels. Hark the herald angels sing. Give me another one. While shepherds watch their flocks. Anybody else? Angels we have heard on high. Any others? It's like categories at church. What was it? Oh, holy night. We got it came upon a midnight clear. Angels from the realms of glory. I mean, we sing about that encounter with the angels and the shepherds often. There will be countless children during the season that'll be wearing bathrobes and putting on Christmas pageants as shepherds and angels. Probably you have already received and will probably receive more cards that have pictures of angels and shepherds, and then you open it up in some form of season's greetings. You will see all kinds of angel and shepherd imagery during the season, and we usually respond to those images because we're so familiar with them. Our response is usually, oh, isn't that beautiful? Oh, I love this season. When in reality, that whole angel shepherd thing should not cause a response like, oh. It should cause a response like, wow, oh, nah! Because every time you see angels showing up in the Bible, the response is of the people to be freaked out of their mind. And we know this because the angels always have to say, fear not. The problem is when we look at the art that we get, angels have been reduced to these overweight white babies with wings. That's disturbing. But it certainly wouldn't make somebody freak out, or maybe it would. Maybe it should. But the reality is, when an angel shows up, people freak out, and so the angels always have to say, fear not. And that's certainly the case in Luke chapter 2, because it says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Angels equal terrified. Or if you like Linus's language more, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said, do not be afraid. But then he goes on to say, I bring you good news of great joy. What does it take for someone to go from a place of fear to joy? What does it take to be able to go from a place of great fear to a place of great joy? And the answer is, just look at the sentence. I bring you good news of great joy. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that good news can take an individual from a place of great fear to great joy? You're sitting in the doctor's office and you're awaiting the test results. And you're filled with anxiety and fear. And the doctor comes in, sits behind his or her desk, and looks at you and says these words, I have good news. Instantly, you go from fear to joy. Or you're sitting in the waiting room because a loved one is in surgery. And the surgery is taking longer than they told you it would. And during that time, if you're the person in the waiting room, what's happening? Fear, anxiety. And then the doctor comes into the waiting room, and there's that moment when nobody's even breathing. And the doctor looks at you and says, I have good news. Instantly you go from fear to joy. You've been out of work for a while. You apply for a job. You've done the interview, you've turned in the application, and now you're just waiting. And as you wait, you're starting to wonder, are you gonna get the job? Are you gonna be able to pay your bills? And then you get a phone call from the employer, and the employer says, I have good news. And what happens? You go from great fear to great joy. You turn in your college applications, and now you're just waiting because the university system takes months. And so for those months, you're just waiting to find out if you got in or not. And then one day you go to the mail and you pull the letter and you see it's from the university that you applied to. And you just stare at it because you're almost afraid to open it. And you open it up and you look and it says, congratulations. Good news. Instantly you go from great fear to great joy. Here are these shepherds. They come face to face with these angels. They're scared out of their minds. He goes, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. So you got to ask the question, okay, what was so good about the news that these angels delivered to those shepherds? For starters, he says, I bring you good news of great joy, which is for all the people, which included shepherds. Shepherds were nobodies. They're actually looked down upon. If a shepherd wandered into town in the first century and you had kids, you probably grabbed your kids closer. Garrison Keillor, in his telling of the Christmas story, likened shepherds to modern day parking lot attendants. They're just not highly respected in our culture. They were at the low rung of the social ladder, except the news was delivered to them because the news was for all the people, which means that the news, the good news, was for both men and women. It was for the poor and the rich. It was for the very religious and the completely irreligious. It was for the hypocrites. It was for the judgmental people. It was also for the humble and compassionate people. It was for Republicans and Democrats. Really, it was for all of them. It was for people that confess Jesus as Lord, and it's for people that do not believe in God at all. Because this was good news for all the people, which means that the news that the shepherds heard from the angels was for me. And the news that the shepherds heard from the angels is for you. Because the angel says, I bring you good news of great joy, which is for all the people. And last time I checked, you are one of the all the peoples. I bring you good news of great joy, which is for all the people. And then he goes on to say, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, or he is the Messiah, the Lord. And this right here, the part that I just read, is some genius writing. This is some phenomenal writing. You see, it's phenomenal because it is completely multi-layered. See, we hear it, we read it, and we just catch the first layer. We hear this and go, oh, it's telling us the Christmas story. I love the Christmas story. For countless reasons, I love the Christmas story, and the angels are telling us the Christmas story. We hear it and we go, oh, that's so good. It's beautiful. But there's more layers to it than what we tend to notice. You see, if you were Jewish in the first century and you heard this, you heard it a little differently. You see, a Jew in the first century would have heard, today in the town of David, oh, stop there. Did you just say the town of David? Well, yes, I did. Oh, you've got my attention now. See, we hear town of David, it's a throwaway line. A Jew in the first century hears town of David and they go, wait. Everyone, shh, I want to hear this. What happened in the town of David? He said, a child is born. He is Christ the Lord, or he is the Messiah. And if you're a Jew in the first century and you hear that, suddenly you lose your mind. Are you kidding me? We have been waiting for this for generation upon generation upon generation, because we have been told year after year after year that one would come and take this world that has been turned upside down, and there's one that's going to come and make everything right. My parents told me about it, and their parents told them about it, and their parents told them about it. We have been hearing about this for hundreds of years. And are you saying that a child has been born in the town of David, Bethlehem, that is Christ the Lord? My whole world has changed. Everything about my world has just changed. A Jew in the first century hears the words that we hear. We think, oh, beautiful. They hear, my life has been changed forever. The world is about ready to be transformed. But what about the Romans? How do you think the Romans heard this? Because I got news for you. They heard these words very, very differently than we do. You see, Augustus, Roman emperor at the time that this was written, was the adopted son of Julius Caesar. After Julius Caesar was killed, there was a bloody civil war. Augustus ends up becoming the emperor. He turns the Roman Republic into the Roman Empire. He then decrees that Julius Caesar is God, making him, Augustus, the son of God. Oh, it gets better. It was decreed throughout the empire that Augustus was not only the son of God, but he was the bringer of good news. It was proclaimed and decreed throughout the empire that Caesar is Lord. And it was not uncommon when Caesar Augustus would come to a town or go into a place that a choir would precede him. And the choir would be singing, here comes the good news, here comes the Savior, the Lord, the Son of God. So if you're in the Roman Empire, you're used to those words being sung, but for a completely different reason. So when you read in Luke chapter 2, if you happen to be one of those shepherds out in the fields and suddenly you hear these words being sung, I bring you good news of great joy today in the town of David. A Savior has been born to you. And I got news for you. It ain't Augustus. Essentially, what the angels are saying in that moment is very similar to what Buddy the Elf said in the movie Elf when he came face to face with a department store Santa Claus. Take a watch.
Santa. Who the heck are you?
Okay, what are you talking about? I'm Santa Claus.
No, you're not.
Why, of course I am.
Well, if you're Santa, what song did I sing for you on your birthday this year?
Happy birthday, of course. how old are you, son?
Four.
You're a big boy. What's your name? And what can I get you for Christmas?
Don't tell him what you want. He's a liar.
Let the kid talk.
You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
Just cool it, Zippy.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Look, I'm not kidding.
You're a fake.
I'm a fake?
Yes.
How'd you like to be dead? Huh? No, he's kidding.
You stink.
I think you're gonna have a good Christmas, all right?
You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
Okay, go.
He's an imposter! He's a fake! He's a fake! He's a fake!
We're gonna...
That's essentially what happened in the fields that night. The angels show up and they go, Augustus, you stink. You are not the Son of God. You do not bring good news. You're an imposter. You're a fake. You are not the Savior. There's only one Son of God. There's only one Savior. There's only one that brings good news. And Augustus, you ain't it. There's only one. If you want to see the one that is the Savior, if you want to see the one that brings good news, he's currently in a manger in the town of David. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that is for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is Christ the Lord. A Savior has been born. Do we really need a Savior? Now, fair enough, we're all sitting in church this morning and we know the answer is yes. But let's just assume that we don't know the answer to the question. Do we really need a Savior? Well, take a look at the world around you. Within the last couple of months, 47 college students in the northern part of Mexico were slaughtered for having the audacity of questioning the status quo. Today, this very day, there will be thousands of children that will die because they do not have clean water. There are more slaves in the world today than at any other point in human history. Do we need a Savior? Try looking closer to home. You don't have to look that hard to find evidence of despair and hopelessness of. Of brokenness. One of my favorite modern Christmas songs has a line in it. It says, "The world seems like a dream gone astray." It's true. Look at the world around you. It does feel like and look like a dream gone astray. God created the world and everything in it. And when he created the world, he said that it was good. The Hebrew word there is tov. And it's usually translated as good. It says that God created the trees and he said that it is good. The Hebrew word there is tov. But the word tov can just as easily be translated good as it can be translated as beautiful or functioning exactly how it was intended to function. So the picture in Genesis 1 is that God creates and then he looks at his creation and says, it is tov. It is good. It is beautiful and it's working exactly the way I designed for it to work. It. Look at the tree. That tree is beautiful. It is doing everything I want the tree to do. It is good. It is tov. But then throughout the entirety of human history, we have consistently and routinely chosen selfishness, chosen pride, greed, lust. We have constantly chosen to worship self over the worship of God. All hail Caesar. As a result, that which was tov became broken. That which was functional became increasingly dysfunctional. That which was once beautiful ceased to be truly beautiful. Do we need a Savior? Oh, we've tried over and over again to take things that are not right and make them somewhat good. And we try all kinds of ways to fix the world around us. If we just had more financial security, then everything would be better in our lives. If this political political party was out and that political party was in, then everything would be better. If we just pass this law or that law, then everything will be better. If I only lost 10 pounds, this would be a good thing. My life would be better. Should we try to be physically fit? Yes. Is there a place to be active in the political process? Yes. But if we think that those are the things that will bring the restoration of Tov, we're fooling ourselves. That angel choir would go on to sing about peace on earth. We hear the word peace and we think absence of war, and it's a fine description of peace. It's just an incomplete description of peace, because peace speaks of wholeness. It is referring to that which is broken being restored, that which is dysfunctional being returned to function and beauty. When we speak of peace, when the angels sang of peace, they're talking about taking the creation that has become broken and making it whole, beautiful, functional, good, tov. And we can do all of our best work and we will never get close to restoring that which is broken. We need a savior. The good news is this. I bring you good news of great joy. Today in the city of David, the one that has come to save has arrived. The one that will restore Tov has come. The one that will bring peace has arrived. Do you ever notice what the shepherds do at that moment? They leave their flocks. They leave their job, like some fishermen would do 30 years later and drop their nets. But they leave their jobs and they run off to find the child. I hope and pray that our response to the reality that Jesus has come would be that we would stop thinking that the other things will make this world better and go, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way for my life to be transformed and for my world to be restored. I would hope that we would come as individuals and as a church and kneel before Jesus and allow our lives to be completely undone by him. I ran across a prayer written by singer-songwriter Michael Card. And I've always loved this prayer during this season. And so we're going to put this prayer up on the screens. And I'm just going to read the prayer. And I want you to listen to it. And then we're going to take some time in silence with the prayer. And then I'll tell you what we'll do next to it. Lord Jesus, you knew from the beginning what the cost would be, and yet still you came. You took on flesh and blood so that you could bleed and die all for me. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Let me see what it means that you were born only so that you could die, and that you died only to make it possible for me to be born again. And as you enable me to see, Lord, let me live in like measure by your grace. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through this prayer one more time. And I just want you to take a moment, read over it. Pay attention to the words, the phrases, the lines that just grab your attention. Take a moment in silence and just read through this prayer. Here's what we're going to do, and how you choose to respond is completely up to you. I'm going to read this prayer again out loud, and for me, it's just going to be my prayer. And I encourage you, if you would like, if you'd like this prayer to be your prayer, read it aloud with me. Or if you're more comfortable doing so, just read it silently. May we, like the shepherds, upon hearing the good news delivered by some angels, run off to the manger, and when we see the child, we say this. So I'll be reading it aloud. If you want to pray it aloud as well, feel free. If you'd rather say it silently. If you'd rather not pray it at all, that's completely up to you. We just want to give a little space for us to all respond as shepherds once responded. Would you pray with me if you would like? Lord Jesus, you knew from the beginning what the cost would be, and yet still you came. You took on flesh and blood so that you could bleed and die, all for me. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Let me see what it means that you were born only so that you could die, and that you died only to make it possible for me to be born again. And as you enable me to see, Lord, let me live in like measure by your grace. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever, and for that we give you thanks. Father, deliver us from being too overly comfortable with Christmas and in our comfortableness, we stop hearing the words of the angels bringing good news of great joy that's for us and for our neighbors and our coworkers and our classmates, for our aunts and uncles and nephews and nieces. Lord, may the good news delivered to those shepherds be good news to us. Father, deliver us from worshiping that which is counterfeit. Deliver us from the worship of self and bring us to a place that we recognize and confess that you are good news. You are the Savior. That peace, that tov, that hope and joy is the gift that you give us through your Son. May we, like Linus, be able to say, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. We pray this all in your Son's name. Amen.